Chapter 12. Lupe Gutierrez lived in a first-floor apartment at Huabesca Place, with her mother and younger sister in one of the units that had been taken over by Section 8. Lupe didn't understand the law, but at some point the landlord had forfeited 40% of his building. It had been a complicated decision, resulting in the first decent housing for the Gutierrez family in memory. Lupe was hell on wheels. Streetwise and sophisticated, she looked far older than her 15 years, and had been busted twice, once for shoplifting and once for whacking another girl over the head with a garbage can in a dispute over a boy. Now she was with Jorge and he was going to make her a star, the way Tommy Mottola made Mariah Carey. Jorge was getting his act together to buy a recording studio, and he was going to feature Lupe as his first release. Lupe's mother Bella thought Jorge was bad news. She warned Lupe that Jorge was just going to grease her descent into hell, but mothers had been telling their daughters that since the world began, and they still ended up with sons-in-law they didn't like. Lupe lay on the bed she shared with her sister Sarita, earphones connected to the boombox Jorge had given her, listening to Christina Aguilera wail. The walls of her room were papered with posters, NSYNC, Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, Christina, even Madonna, who was older than Lupe's mother. But you had to hand it to Madonna. The bitch had balls. Lupe knew the cop lady was a witch the moment she laid eyes on her. Lupe had always been gifted that way, even Bella had to agree. Once, when Lupe was 5, she woke screaming in the middle of the night, terrified of a fire. She roused the whole house, and her mother was quite angry at the time until the living room sofa, on which a visiting boyfriend had been smoking a joint, exploded into flame. Prescient. That's the word her homeroom teacher used in class when Lupe had raised her hand one day and asked if they were about to see a film on sexually transmitted diseases. Why yes, my dear, however did you know that the teacher asked? I just knew, Lupe replied. She knew other things as well. That Mr. Meyer the shop teacher was having an affair with Mrs. Anderson, the librarian. That Mac Daddy, the corner crack dealer would be dead that night of gunfire. Lupe had refused to go to school one day, with a feeling of impending doom. That had been 9/11. When the witch with a badge appeared, Lupe could tell instantly. So sweet. So cute. So butch in her Joe Rocket jacket. She had the boys twisted around her little finger without even trying. But she didn't fool Lupe. Not for one second. She fooled Jorge. He was mucho macho, but like every other PR out of the projects, he couldn't keep his eyes off the ladies. Lupe had learned at an early age that men were fickle beasts, and would dump you in a New York second for someone prettier, sexier, or younger. What really galled Lupe was that the witch was older. She had to be in her 30s, at least. And Jorge was making a fool of himself over her as if she were a fine young fox like Lupe. Okay. Lupe had to admit that the witch lady was a looker. Maybe even a stunner. But that could have been the magic. Strip away her protections, she was probably a hunchback. Further proof she was a witch, she kept a familiar in the form of a large gray cat, which Lupe had observed from the stairwell. Knowledge was power. Toward that end, the teenager had taken to following the witch, whenever possible. That's how she learned the witch usually entered and exited the building through the rear door on Prospect Place, across from the medical center. That's how she learned the witch rode a motorcycle which she kept in the medical center garage. Further proof she was a witch, the ease with which she'd brought down Hector. It was true that some girls could fight. Lupe could fight. But no girl, no matter how tough, could bring down someone like Hector, veteran of countless street brawls, and the harshest weapon in Los Romeros' arsenal. Not that Los Romeros were evil. They were gangsta wannabes. They bought their drugs retail from Los Tecolotes. Some of them even had jobs. There was only one way to fight a witch, with witchcraft. Lupe decided to pay Estrella a visit. Taking off her earphones, she turned the boombox off, got off the bed, and went to her secret place in the closet. She pried up the loose floorboard and dug around, brushing aside insect larvae, rat feces, and dust balls, until she found the crumpled Chivas Regal bag in which Jorge had given her a heart-shaped locket. She reached inside the bag and closed her hand around the wad of bills she'd been accumulating, mostly by snatch and grab at the street fairs. Lupe was fleet of foot, and if she spied easy prey, mostly the elderly, waving their billfolds or purses, she would swoop down like a hawk, grab the booty and be gone so fast, they usually never got a good look at her. Sometimes they fell down. That was their problem. Incapable of empathy, Lupe never envisioned a day when she would be old and feeble. $212, more than enough to convince Estrella to lay a terrible curse on the witch. Lupe examined her citizen watch, another gift from Jorge. It was 9:30. Her mother was stoned out of her skull on Muscatel watching videos in the bedroom with the jerk du jour. Cirito was in the living room watching Powerpuff Girls. Not for Lupe, not tonight. She had to keep a clear head to deal with Estrella. Popping off the screen, she let herself out her bedroom window, hanging from the sill and dropping the 3 feet into the garden, lovingly maintained by the geezers, who were always complaining about her depredations. Big deal. It was just a stupid garden. She never looked at it anyway. Lupe caught the Atlantic Avenue bus to the Long Island terminal, switched to the 4th Avenue bus which took her to the waterfront. She'd learned about Estrella from Jorge, who let her accompany him once when he had to put a hex on Los Tecolotes, who jumped 2 Romeros the day before, putting one in the hospital. At least they didn't have guns. Jorge didn't use a gun either. He paid Estrella $200 to hex the Tecolotes, and a day later, 2 of them were shot dead in a drive-by by the Kingston posse. Lupe had always respected Los Tecolotes. In fact, Bobby Chacon, their warlord, made no secret of his admiration for her the last time they'd met. Had she told Jorge that Bobby Chacon told her she was a fine fox and wouldn't mind taking her out, it would have meant war. She held that in reserve, just in case. Lupe got off the bus by the big red warehouse and walked toward the freight yard, which fronted the river. Estrella lived inside the freight yard, in a switching box that hadn't been used in years. There were more ways into the switch yard than bulls to cover them. Lupe's favorite was through a hole in the hurricane fence concealed behind a steel shed. She was barely able to squeeze through, scratching herself slightly in the process. The switch yard covered about a square half mile, and used to belong to the New York and Pennsylvania Railroad, but had since been taken over by the city as a storage and repair facility. Old subway cars now occupied most of the rail space, and served as a canvas for the many area gangs. It was practically a daily show, with gangs sneaking into the yard nightly to spray over their rivals' logos and establish their own. Sometimes the tagging battles led to death. The railroad bulls didn't even have green cards and mostly stuck to their shack playing poker and running out back to get high. Estrella the Witch subscribed to a potent blend of Santeria and animism known as Gaunjugo, which she'd brought from her native Santo Domingo. The switching box was located in an isolated part of the yard on a gravel bed near the waterfront next to a Con Ed transfer station which emitted a radioactive hum night and day. Estrella had lined the wall closest to the transfer station with aluminum foil to keep out harmful radiation. Bad vibes, as she put it. It was 10 at night as Lupe picked her way across the plain of gravel, broken glass, and rusted rails in her black B-case, heading toward the transfer station and the little corrugated steel hut, studded with odd objects designed to hold evil spirits at bay. She had dressed to impress in black Danskin leotards and pearl earrings, clutching her Nike backpack. Los Romeros didn't carry purses. She made her way through an army of silent 50-gallon drums oozing a yellowish-green fluid that stung the eyes. When she was 10 feet from the open steel door, a harsh voice emanated from within. Hugo dear. Estrella, it's me, Lupe, from the Wabesca Projects. I know you girl. You come in here, tell Estrella what you want. The door made a hideous creaking noise as Lupe forced it open to permit her entrance. Inside, the floor had been covered with wooden pallets and these had been covered with a myriad of carpets and scatter rugs, some salvaged from the street, some purchased at St. Vincent de Paul, some given in trade, so that the net effect was that of a trampoline. This type of floor did not permit normal furniture, so Madame Estrella made do with a variety of cushions, mostly sofa bolsters swiped from furniture on the sidewalk waiting to be loaded into a truck. Madame Estrella's pirated power line gave her light. Several low lamps, and 6 candles provided illumination. Estrella reclined on a futon covered with bedspreads in one corner smoking an American spirit, using a hubcap as an ashtray. Nearby, a small cube refrigerator hummed. A color television crouched on a packing crate. Beneath it was a DVD player and a stack of DVDs including Eyes Wide Shut and Bring It On. Estrella's ferocious cat Duran crouched in one corner, yellowish eye regarding Lupe as she moved hesitantly on the spongy floor. Sit down. You got man trouble. See it in you face girl. Lupe slumped on the sofas. Was it that obvious? No. Estrella was a witch. It wasn't as if she were parading around with a cuckold sign on her forehead. Besides, girls couldn't be cuckolds, could they? No, Just chumps and fools. My man Jorge is seeing a witch from the police department, she blurted. Madame Estrella looked up, regarding her through turquoise cat's eye glasses. She'd made her mouth up like a Ferrari F40, crimson lips revealing alloy teeth. I know dat Jorge. He got de wandering eye, girl, you know dat when you take up wit him. What make you tink dis cop a witch? I can see it. The way you taught me. Here. Lupe thrust forth the bag of personal belongings she had so patiently gathered by waiting in the basement garbage room, combing through countless loads of disgusting trash until she had identified her prey by the discarded promotional flyers with the witch's name on the label. Here are some of her personal things. If you feel them, Estrella, you'll know too. Estrella took the clear plastic bag of discarded flyers, used cotton swabs, a discarded lady chic with no change in expression. She held the bag beneath her nose and smelled the contents. She reached behind her and snagged a sterling silver platter with runoff grooves for the gravy. It was stained dark gray. She dumped the contents onto the platter with a muffled clunk. Duran got up from his cushion and padded forward. He must have weighed 35 pounds. One ear had been torn off in battle. He sniffed a cotton ball, batted at it with a paw, yowled and scrammed. You is right, Estrella replied. She a witch, all right. And she very powerful. Dat she be a cop too, dat is further evidence of her power. Normally, I would not touch dis witch. But I know you. I know Jorge. I know like see him get sucked into her circle of evil. I help you cast a spell on dis witch. But you must go further. I cannot do dis alone. Before I continue, I ask you, you got $200 for Estrella? Lupe reached into the backpack, dug around until she found her coin purse. She drew it out. Snapped it open and took out $200 in tightly packed 20s. 3 weeks of grab and runs at the Saturday markets. She could always make it back forcing Sarita to give blowjobs. Estrella counted the money, folded it back up and stuck it down her bosom. It was safe there. No one but a crazy person would reach down there. Okay. Dis what you got to do. I use dis material you bring me to cast a spell. You get your best man and plan an ambush. Dis woman not like utter witches. Not like utter cops, for dat matter. She very powerful. We must launch double attack. Me from here, your best man from dear. Lupe's smooth forehead scrunched into a relief map of Afghanistan. Where am I going to find a best man? I told you, my boyfriend is seeing her. That's why I came to you in the first place. Her voice took on a whining, querulous quality. Ho girl, you tink dis be easy? You tink a witch of dis magnitude just poof go away? I take great risk helping you. You think she not know when I begin to cast my spell? That is why you must distract her with an all-out attack. Wit a man. Not some little girl. You understand what I'm saying, or am I talking to de wall? Lupe nodded sullenly. I hear you. Frantically, she racked her brain. Where was she going to get a man to take on this lady cop? She couldn't go to Los Romeros. They were loyal to Jorge and would certainly tell him. That left Los Tecolotes, Los Romeros' closest rivals, and a force to be reckoned with in Upper Brooklyn. Head Tecolote Bobby Chacon had the hots for her, and he hated cops. Afghanistan morphed into the Gobi Desert. A plan began to form.